We're in the wonderful journal of the early church in Acts chapter 10. This morning I'd like to go a little deeper. We've read part of the text already, and there's way too much for me to bring out even in this hour. God willing, between now and next Sunday, or maybe the third Sunday from now, we can look at all the elements. There's parts of it I just want to teach as the moment is right, because there's things to be brought in that I think are necessary to look at, to see the whole picture, the whole counsel of God. Other things are just plain, just simple, just an easy walk through. Now, Cornelius, the Gentile centurion from Caesarea, was a God-fearing individual. I've made this statement before, that his recognition of the true God was not enough. There needed to be more. And I'd like to look at some scriptures this morning from right here in this text that tell you where I'm coming from with that statement. In chapter 10, an angelic messenger comes to him and said, "Send to Joppa for Peter." And Peter's going to come and give a message about this life. Peter had this vision from God. The vision prepared him for the journey to talk to Gentile people. He was a Jew, and he was not accustomed to going into a Gentile home, speaking to a Gentile audience. In fact, he was not comfortable with that at all. And God gave him this vision, this sheet being let down with all of the unclean animals. And it wasn't about animals, it was about people. And so God shows him. Peter says it down in verse 28. As he goes into Cornelius' house, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. And that is why I've come without raising any objections when I was sent for. And so I ask, for what reason you have sent for me?" I'm going to interject a little bit of some plan and future at this point in time for me personally and us as a church family. Terry Pruitt, our fellow worker within the InFaith mission, has been to India two times. He is planning on going back to India a year from now, February or March. When he was here telling us about India, he offhandedly said to us, "Next time I'm going to take Dan." And it was kind of a joke and kind of not a joke. Well, that has been pursued. And at this point in time, we as leadership, as elders here, have come together. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. And I've been with Terry. And I'm planning on going with Terry to India. One of my questions was, why? I kind of feel like Peter right here. I don't know. What is up? What is around the corner there? I don't know. There's some ideas, but please, would you pray? Would you pray? I would appreciate that a lot, and so would Terry. He has been there. He knows the setting. He's going to be teaching classes that are already set up. Some locations and possibly with flexibility, we'll be going to some other occasions. He said, "I will be at least preaching on the Sundays that I will be there." So pray. What is it that those individual people, those pockets where I'm going, what do they need? I don't know, but I'm hoping to hear from God about it. So that'll be happening. My family will be staying here. Star had the opportunity, but it's too much time away and feel kind of strange to have both of us here and family going on there, or the other way. It'll be at least a couple of weeks, 2 to 3, possibly Terry will be there 3 to 3.5 weeks. I may be there the full length of time. But just interjecting that at this point in time, it's almost a year away, and there's a lot of details to develop. The next step is to get the visa, passports taken care of. India gives a 10-year visa. So, but there's other requirements leading up to that. What's that? It is too long. You're right. But I can understand a little bit, truly, from my heart. Peter saying, why'd you call me here? What do you want from me, Cornelius and company? What do you want? Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I'm at verse 30, to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon, the tanner by the sea. So I sent to you immediately, Cornelius said to Peter, and you've been kind enough to come. Now then, we're all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. I want to add the rest of the message that we find out in the next chapter. Would you turn to chapter 11, please? Peter is talking to some disgruntled Jewish people. Man, you ate dinner with some Gentile people in their house? How in the world? Why? And so he's calming them a little bit, saying, well, God's in this. He tells them about the vision down through about verse 9 or so. Verse 10, that vision happened three times, then everything drawn back into the sky. Verse 11, I'm in chapter 11, verse 11. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And these six brethren, so there's seven of them in total, these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. Verse 13, and he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is called Peter, brought here. Here's the rest of the message. And he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and your house. Point. Cornelius, God-fearing, but he needed the rest of the story. Send to Joppa for Peter. He's got words for you by which, when you believe, you will be saved, and it's also open to your whole household. This is not teaching that once he believes in, his whole house is also in. This is for them also. To me, this represents a good running picture of Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Would you please turn there? The next book over to the right. Romans chapter 10, verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then Paul asks the question of verse 14, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? There's this progress. How can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? And then it goes into the message there of how beautiful are the feet of those that bring that good news. But that is what's happening here in this little town of Caesarea. God is opening the gospel to this little pocket of Gentile people, symbolizing to Peter that it's not just for the Jews, Peter, and you are no place above them. This is level turf. The Jewish people need God. The Gentile people need God. Go there with the message of life for them. Back to Acts chapter 10. Verse 34. When Peter heard that, the message that gives life, he zeroed in on the very simple gospel. And if you wonder, well, what is it that I need to say to somebody? Number one, can I remind you that if you're a believer in Jesus, tell them what you know. If you want a little bit more detail without going into, you know, all of the whole Bible, starting with the sin and the fall, and this little message may be enough. Look at the details. Verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. I want to develop more from this, God willing, next week. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. From Caesarea, Cornelius is welcome to him. And now the message. Verse 36. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That's the foundational, that's the substance. That's where we start. Peace through Jesus Christ is absolutely a man or a woman having peace with God. It is not about peace in a country or peace even under the same roof between a husband and wife. It is peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then it starts overlapping into our personal relationships. And it can go well beyond that. That word, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And by the way, this is Lord above all. This is King of Kings and this is Lord of Lords. There is no mixing and matching and placing lords under who is your Lord. Because in this very community right here, I've had discussion with neighbors one way or the other who talk about Buddha being Lord or a Muhammad being Lord or one of the others. Peter says it clear, please station yourself on this truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. There is nobody else vying for the position. He is clear with Cornelius. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, where Jesus was raised, after the baptism which John proclaimed. That was the introduction. That baptism was be baptized for the repentance of sin, demonstrating by this water washing that your sins are being washed. The water itself, there isn't a soul cleansing from water. Go on. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus. Be clear with people which Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good. And this is God's good, not man's version of good. Everything he did was ordered by his Father. Absolutely everything. We have our ideas of good and we try to slip them into position. Let's be real careful. What does God say is good? He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, whether it's demonic activity or whether it's leprosy. Somebody lame, somebody blind from birth. Oppression by that enemy. He went about healing them. That demonstrates his power over them. That's part of this message. He is Lord of all. Peter says, for God was with him. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of these things, all these things. He did both in the land of the Jews as well as in the heart right there in Jerusalem. And they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. Don't leave that part of your message out. That's the key factor here. Jesus, the Son of God, sent by the Father to be that ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to develop that a little bit more in coming weeks. He hung on the cross and died. Politically, we can chastise those Jews that made that happen, or the Romans that drove the spikes. That's not where we need to end up. He died, and then this is going to fill out the rest of that story. Yes, he died on that cross. Not because his mouth got away from him. Not because he did evil. Not because of anything bad. But for our sin. And we, most of us in this room, know that. He died to pay for my sin. Cornelius doesn't know that yet. Peter's just unfolding as simple as absolutely possible. Put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, because if he wasn't visible, there'd be no proof of the resurrection, right? Visible, but not to all people. but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is to us. Here's seven of us in this room who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach or proclaim to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and dead. How can he judge the dead if the dead are totally annihilated after they die? This is one of the places of many in the scripture to demonstrate there is an ongoing life after this body dies, and we will all answer to that one, the Lord Jesus. He is Lord of all. He is the judge of the living and the dead, and this includes all Old Testament saints. I want to develop that, God willing, in the next couple of weeks. It's here in the text. And I want to show you how and why and how we should think to end up at the truth of God about Jesus. Without his death, no human being would have a relationship with the Father. But through his death, all believers have access and are there as his children. Now, Cornelius hears this the first time. He is judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, of him all the prophets bear witness. Oh, I want to develop that. That through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. How good do I have to be so that my good outweighs my bad? That is a trick question, but not really. Because that is the frame of reference many people around us have. How good do I have to be before it outweighs my bad? What does God tell us?
Our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Thank you. Amen. There isn't good that outweighs the bad. There is his good that forgives my bad. No matter how bad, I still can have his forgiveness. Just a little bad? That's great. That's not good enough. The forgiveness of sins has to be in our gospel message. Cornelius gets to hear this for the first time. The full message. He was God-minded, absolutely, above all the Roman gods, above all the Greek gods. He hears this message. It's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, not another Jesus. To them that name was Yeshua. Hebrew name, which that name is, God saves. God is salvation. What more do I need? As I stated last week, Peter had the opportunity here to convert these people to Judaism. What a perfect opportunity. We're all here, Peter, now talk. What an opportunity to say, well, you need to keep the Sabbath. You need to have all your men cubs circumcised. And then there's the dietary laws and the celebrations. And all out of Judaism. And notice how many of them he brings up in this topic. Now, zero. Why? Because they have nothing to do with somebody's salvation. Zero. Where is salvation rooted? What is salvation? It is God rescuing me out of my sin. Whether I'm a man, a woman, a Jew, a Gentile, an American, a Syrian. It doesn't matter. Belief in Jesus. Forgiveness of sins. How are my sins forgiven? He died on the cross in my place, shed his blood for me to pay for my sins. It's not my good, it's his good. Cornelius, that's what you need. Oh, watch this. This is kind of fun. While Peter was still speaking these words, while he was still speaking, does your Bible say that? No, notice that he didn't like get to the end of the message and have an invitation. Right? While he was speaking these words, the Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. I think they were listening with ears that could hear. They got it. They were in process of believing as he's speaking. The more he said, the more they believed. And finally, forgiveness of sin through Jesus, blood on the cross. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God fell upon them is the wording. And then the next thing, you know, we don't understand this so much from our culture. Verse 45, and all the circumcised believers, that's really not the best wording. All the believers among the circumcision.
Jews.
All of the believers among the Jews that were there. Because they didn't consider themselves any more special because of the circumcision. That was, but to describe the setting, they were known as the circumcised. They are the Jews. And all the believers among them who had come with Peter, six plus him, were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. Not just this group, but it opened the door. It was the beginning of God's work among all that are non-Jews. Thank you, Lord, because that got to me. Came right down the ladder of time and reached this kid at 19 years old. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your salvation is still an active propellant for a God relationship through Jesus. As it's moving forth, people are still believing, becoming born again, Jesus' words, or born from above. The Spirit of God fell upon them. Verse 46, for they were hearing them. Here's the evidence to these Jewish people that the Spirit of God came upon them, the Holy Spirit. They were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ right then and there. Then he asked them to stay on for a few days, and he did. That's culturally weird. But he didn't have that cultural barrier anymore. His mindset is, these are my brothers and sisters. There aren't divisions. There's no separating now. And he stayed with them. Now, Peter had a problem with that a little later on. Galatians 1 talks about that. But then he got straightened out fully. What a wonderful, simple message here. When the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues. Prior to this, we have that description in chapter 2 of Acts. It's a temptation to take what we understand